Ah, there we go. Every day is a school day for me. Woohoo! Hello, welcome to Exiled Eagles. My name's Rob Seltzer. You're listening to the officially unofficial podcast of the FA Cup and Community Shield holder Crystal Palace for fans that live overseas, and now is the world's longest podcast intro. Joining me today, we have fresh from his 4 hour and 50 minute haircut that's only halfway through, Ned Rock in Melbourne. How are you, Ned?
Oh, I'm doing very well, thank you. I feel like I look very similar to how I did about an hour ago, but we'll roll with that one.
You
Thank you,
absolutely
Rob,
do.
very much, and she's doing an excellent job.
Is isn't she
Congratulations.
just? Isn't she just? You look exactly the same. Marky Mark joining us from a new spot. He's not cat burgling anymore, anyone. He's
Well,
he's
is
not.
he not?
Well, if he's cat burgling, he's actually doing the podcast from the house is cat burgling, which is an interesting turn of events. But how are you, Mark?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Just probably should mention off the top. Ned's fiance is clearly in earshot of Ned as we pod. Yeah, I'm good, mate. Live from the Miso's den. I'm at her preparation station, I guess you'd call it. So I'm surrounded by brushes and bottles of lotions and potions that all bewilder me. So just try and keep it on the football, but I'm good, mate. Yep, on time, ready, willing, and able.
Which we are so pleased for. Thank you, Mark. And bang on, no technological issues today for you. And down in the Shire, Dale Courty, how are you, Dale?
Good, mate. I imagine this will be a quick one, not a lot to talk about.
No, like we've
Not
only
much
got
going
3 hours.
on. Nah.
Yes, and that's just the refereeing, and then we can talk about what's happened. Okay, so that the season started. We are prolific, fellas. We are prolific. I reckon it's only been about 4 or 5 weeks since our last one. So look, we're not going to go through every game in individual because but two of them, the two European games, there's literally nothing to talk about apart from the fact that we're through. But we'll start with Ned. How are you feeling with the season, the start of the season? How do you think we play in? What's your feelings like? What we're 5 points from a possible nine. It's not bad, is it?
Oh, we're the only English club undefeated that's won a trophy this year, so we'll take
Thank
that.
you.
And obviously we'll remain undefeated. I said after the Community Shield that we're never going to lose another game. And look, so far it's being proven correct. So I'll stand by that. We are never going to lose a football match ever again. We'll just ignore all that little sort of, there's a few distractions that they're trying to put us off with. That we'll discuss later, just for some content, really. But yeah, look, we played poorly in a couple of games, still didn't lose. Played well, gave Villa a battering, and yeah, happy days so far.
Absolutely. Go on the mic, Mark. How are you feeling with the starts of the season?
Well, as Ned Stradamus has predicted, undefeated. I don't see us losing again either, if I'm honest. But it's been all right. And well, been time poor, so I've only seen the Forest game in its entirety, and just the half hour odd minis on t'other. Not much to chat about in Europe. We're through, which is good. I did see they managed a correct. I did see that they managed a 10 minutes highlight package of the game, and I was like, which is always a worry when the team coach features in that 10 minute highlight package. You think, yeah, okay, we're in front here. So no, it's been good, mate. Good to give Villa a touch up on their patch the other day. Gahey with a wonder goal, and if he wants to know, he being waved about in a shop window. He may have been after that. So, mate, yeah, well, one of only three clubs undefeated in the Prem thus far this season. As Ned said, the only one to be trophy holders for also said season. So, mate, things are looking up. The window has points of conjecture that I'm sure we'll touch on. Oh, but for now, mate, it's all positive and going forward, isn't it? So can't complain.
No, absolutely. And Dale, I'll ask you a slightly different question. Like, is there a world that you think that we could potentially be one of only two unbeaten teams in the Premier League, thinking to the first game of the season and an awful refereeing decision? Referees are rubbish, boo.
What you mean? Are we going to beat Sunderland? Is that what you're asking me?
No. We could be there's three undefeated teams, us, Chelsea, Liverpool. We've played one of them.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean. Yeah, whatever. I mean, decision's crap, but it's gone now, so let's just deal with it.
No, I will not have that. We will stick on that. Let's bash the referee, please.
Well, it's just the lack of consistency of the application of the rule. That's all it is. A rule that no one really knew about, and the lack of consistency with its application. That's all it is. In terms of how do I feel the start of the season's gone, on the pitch, superb. If someone had said to me, we're going to play three, have 5 points, and be unbeaten, I'd have said, yeah. Off the pitch, it's been a bit of a farce. So we'll leave it at that for the moment.
Look, everyone, all the other podcasts that we listen to, because we drew, obviously we drew with Chelsea when the ridiculous decision was given, and the draw with Forest, where I think we just kind of ran out of steam. But everyone says, "Oh, Glasner team start early." But I was thinking about it, and obviously the brain started hurting when I started thinking. But this isn't very similar teams we had towards the end of last season. So when it says starting, like Glasner's team start slowly, we shouldn't really, I don't think that was the excuse this year to kind of start slowly, because it's fairly, and we'll talk about it as to why. But apart from, like, I mean, Ebbs was there for the first couple of games. But yeah, so I don't think that was the excuse. But look, it's been great. Unbeaten through in Europe. Happy, happy days. But I do have one last question before we kind of move into the transfer window. Look, I'm assuming, I know Dale, I'm assuming Dale and Ned, you did watch Frederikstad at home live. Mark, did you watch that one live, or were you on the tools?
No, mate. Yeah, on the tools bus.
Yeah.
Couldn't get
Did
to that.
anyone did anyone do the away leg live?
Oh, I did the second half.
No, so I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning,
Yeah.
checked the score, and was like, no chance.
I did the same as you. I woke up at 3 o'clock, but I stupidly decided to
Yeah,
watch the second half.
I had a big
It was very
Friday,
exciting.
leading, a long Friday leading into a long weekend, like a very busy weekend. So I thought I'm going to value every last bit of sleep I get. Thank you.
Yeah. No, there was a very exciting part in the last minute where we had a chance and then the goalkeeper went up the other end. That's always fun. I always love it when a goalkeeper goes forward.
Yeah,
My
great.
goalkeeper on his way back played a lovely little reverse pass
Yeah,
after
that
he
was
came up.
good.
So that was good. That was probably the highlight of the game, was the opposition goalkeeper playing a reverse pass in the attacking half. That was the peak of our European away trips so far. So hopefully it can get even better than that. I don't know if it can, but even better than that would be brilliant.
I mean, surprising no one, I did not wake up at 2 a.m. to watch that after the 5 o'clock showing that I'm very proud of myself to do for the home leg, and that was absolute dross not doing that at 2 a.m. Oof, no. But then I did watch the 10 minute highlight package that Mark spoke about. I watched it on the website, and including that 10 minute package was Adam Wharton overhitting a free kick out for a goal kick. That is the standard of
Peak.
the game. That was included. You're like, wow.
Anyone clock our man Howland in the away end for it?
He was just throwing fists. That's all I saw. There's one guy throwing fists. Then I was like, that's James. There he is. The animal.
Gotta
The animal.
There's our reporter getting
That's
most of
it.
it.
Look, we'll talk about you later on, but let's talk about the window. So initially, let's talk about the ins. I know nothing of most of them, which is actually, I know nothing about all of them. So I'm not going to talk much about the ins because I don't know anything about them. But if you take away the whole when it happened, Dal, but when you come back to it, so Ebbs is out, Ebbs has gone, Edouard, man, we managed to move off Edouard. We've brought in
Right.
Benitez, Sosa, Uche. Is it Uche name?
Oh,
Peter.
asking me, you're coming to me. Oh, I wonder why that is. Asking me how to pronounce it, Jay. Oh, I wonder.
Oh, Jesus. Holy
He's
doodle.
Nigerian, mate. I wouldn't know. Wouldn't know, would you?
I'm coming to you because I'm going to you first.
Okay,
Pino
mate.
and Canvot. Is it Canvot?
It'll be a silent T, I imagine, because he's French.
Oh, yeah,
It'll be
French.
like Cambo.
Canvot.
Oh,
Canvot.
Convo. Yeah,
Jean
and
Canvot. Is it
without
Jean?
any checking, I'm assuming it is like Uche.
Yeah, I thought it'd be
Right, mate.
Uche.
Jesus, you give me the
Yeah.
ho-ho, and then you
Yeah,
get it
it'd be
right.
something
Jeez.
like that, I imagine. But yeah. No, look, reality is, don't know a lot about any of them, just some research I've done since. The most interesting one for me is going to be Uche. Like his story is unbelievable. Like 3 years ago, he's playing amateur football in Nigeria, gets picked up by whoever it is in Spain, gets moved into the third division for, is it 800,000? Then
No,
goes
it's 800 euros.
800. No, I think it's 800,000 euro.
Everyone says it's eight.
I
Why
think it's
would
800 euro.
I
Oh,
think
it's
it's
800
800.
euro.
I
Okay,
believe
I misheard
800
that.
euros.
Yeah, and then 500,000 euros, and now he's with us on a loan with an obligation to buy, which sets around 17 million or something, which is just bonkers. Got in the Nigerian squad, the Super Eagles. Three fingers up to them, whatever.
Represent.
Represent what? Look, I'm really intrigued to see him. Like the videos we've seen, everyone can look good on a YouTube video, but he does look like just different, a point of difference, which is good. Pino, we got to see a little bit of him against Villa, and you don't win 15 caps by age of 22 for Spain and be rubbish. So we know about Benitez, we'll probably never see. And Canvo, well, 19-year-old French under 21 or 20 international. This smells of a Doogie signing of someone that we bring in, and in 3 years' time, we botch up the sale and then get as much as we should get. But
Power.
again, looks good. Looks good. So on the face of it, you turn around and go, those five plus keeping Gaye, good window on the face of it. One thing I will say, I know you're not talking about the outs, I don't think enough has been said about, I'm not sure how I feel about somebody ringing up another club and saying, hey, are you sure you don't want to buy me? And then texting their boss to say, oh, I'm not well, see you later. That smacks of disappearing out of work half an hour early to go to a job interview elsewhere, not telling anyone, and then faking any illness. You don't have to do any year-over-year any year notice. I don't like that at all. Just saying.
On what I will say in his defense there, Dale, is if he hadn't done that, he would have had to go to Tottenham. So,
Yeah.
we've got some,
Yeah.
there's pluses and minuses for the guy.
Yeah. Just pointing it out, I don't think enough has been made about that. But anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, there's going to be times where it works in our favor. So, players have got to do what I think players have got to do what they've got to do. Like, hence, I would always have a release clause in contracts if
Different,
I.
though.
I know, but I
Different
think
to the morning of
it's
the
just like
game.
you know the club's interest in you. You want to
Yeah,
go to the
but
club. Hey, would you? Are you going to big me
okay.
or not? Or because you could
Gaye,
go.
we're not talking about Mark yet, but let's assume that come Sunday, 9 o'clock, whatever it was, Mark was going. It probably was. That was probably what he assumed, right? He hadn't rung up the morning of that Villa game and said, hey, sorry, Gaffer, got a little tickle in my throat. Not coming to Birmingham today. See you later. Just
No,
saying. Just saying.
yeah,
Just saying.
well,
There's a
apparently smiled and signed some autographs on his way out, so it was forgiven the night of, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
What do you think of it, Mark? Like, I'm sure you're well up on the lower echelons of Spanish football, so I'm assuming you've been following Uche's rise through the ranks.
Yep.
What do you think about our window overall?
Well, in all my years of following Uche and his wares on the football pitch, I'm happy he's finally come to Palace. Obviously, now never to lose a game again, so he'd be happy with that as a young bloke. It's all just fucking can never do anything from start to finish without there being a bobble, can we? Really? Always something. Fucking annoying as shit. It's one of those things on face value. You'd go, some reasonable wins. I don't know much about them, to be perfectly honest, which should come as a surprise to nobody. Pino looked great. Disappointed we didn't get the other attacking midfielder from Napoli, Grigio. That'd have been cool to get them both on the pitch together.
Boom,
Thank you.
boom.
Thank you very much.
That's it.
But he did look good. The bit that I saw, he just had made like one appearance in the mini that I watched. And he just ran through half the fucking team and then put it on to Mitchell or someone out on the left there.
Everything
But
now.
no, looks very good, like Dale said. You know, shagging a rock if you're getting 20-odd caps for Espana. The other guys seem good. They've all got, you know, bloody feel-good stories and whatnot we can get behind. Edouard gone. Didn't know he's back. No loss there. I mean, it was, the Ebbsen, it was, I mean, it's always on the cards, but we just don't seem to. Fuck, it's like everyone's got it worked out. All right, it should go like this, and we just don't do it like that for whatever reason. I know there's lots of moving parts, and there's obviously, you know, fax machines with times getting altered with and things like that. But it's just annoying, mate. You know, came to a head by all accounts. It was a done deal, medicals and personal terms agreed, and then it was, then it wasn't. Now it's not, and I don't even really know now. Can we still get some decent scratch out of him in the summer window, or January window rather, or we might as well just keep him for the season now and bite the bullet. I don't really know.
Oh, look, that's to be discussed in about 4 minutes. Go on, Ned. What's your overarching?
I think the ins have been good. Very happy with those. I think the outs aren't players that we have relied on previously, but I think what we've potentially neglected a little bit is the fact that we've got an extra 8 to 10 minimum fixtures this season, in Europe, where potentially, you know, if you're heading out to Cyprus to play some Cypriot team, potentially that would have been a reasonable opportunity to just go, here you go, Odson, fill your boots. JP, have a, you know, you kick back and have a rest today. I think whatever it is that we do from here on, the one thing that I think Glasner is going to have to do, and as fans, we're going, you know, I don't think he, unfortunately, I don't think he will do it. And so we'll be frustrated for another reason. And the reason he won't do it is because fans would get frustrated with him, is we're going to have to take the hit in a couple of games and have some of those players coming off, only playing an hour, even if the game's in the balance. Because if you think our Christmases, when we played three games a week, and our injury record was bad over the last few years, I can see this year, if we're going to play the same team over and over again three times a week from September right the way through to whenever we get, you know, this European comp finishes, which hopefully is, you know, right at the end of the season, we are going to have injuries galore. And by the time AFCON rolls around in January, we're not going to have 11 fit people to put on the pitch. So he's going to have to use the kids, and he's going to have to use the kids in games that count. And he's going to have to give them meaningful game time. So that's the only thing I sort of looked at. I think, as I said, we weren't depressed to lose those players, but I think we have lost. I don't think we've actually really got any more players than we've had previously. I think, you know, ebbs aside, we've improved. But I don't think our numbers are any different to what they have been. And that in the past has been a problem. Add some extra fixtures in. That's got me a little bit nervous. There was
I
a
think,
list of
Ned.
free agents that sort of went around recently in one of the chats today. And if I was at the club, I'd be on the phone to a couple of agents going, hey, do you fancy get 12-month contract? for someone, you know, your people like your Christian Eriksens or someone, just a little bit of experience to be able to come and play.
I think, Ned, one thing they're probably banking on is you've got these players in, you've lost what we've sold or released three, is it? So you're net up two or net up three. And then they're probably banking on at some stage Chad Iriad and Cheick Doucouré rediscovering the ability to walk. That's probably what they're hoping.
Oh, which they definitely will, but I mean, they'll rediscover the ability to walk, and then someone else will go down. So, I
Of
mean,
course, of course, of
the
course.
reason those players lost the ability to walk was well, not so much Chad Riad, but was because we were pumping players through and we were
That's
playing them
right.
when they weren't ready to go.
That's right.
And if
Yeah.
our numbers are still like this, well, we're going to be doing that. I mean, we've already lost Saar and Wharton because they played way
Yeah.
too much football. That's an overload issue. The reason
Yeah.
they went down is an overload of football for those players. I think anyone can see that.
I worry about Wharton.
Huh?
This
Yeah, me too.
is becoming a little pattern now. The third muscle injury.
Yeah, I think we potentially might need to get that 150 million off Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Get
In
that
all seriousness,
agreed in January.
we laugh and we joke and all that sort of stuff, but he's only really played two full. It's only what his second full season of Premier
Yeah.
League football, and he's already missing considerable time
But
again.
again, I think that's overload because I mean we have to remember you got to remember he's a 21-year-old kid. His body's he's still gaining. Well, he's still trying to gain that sort of strength, and we're just forcing him into this high intensity week after week after week after week when he's not ready to get back into it, and it's going to cause him long-term damage.
Yeah, also I am impressed. Apart from obviously Benitez and Sosa, from everything we talk about with Glasner, who's not one who doesn't he's not ready to trust the kids. If you look at the age profile of the three that come in, so the Camvo, Uche, and Pino, was 23, 22, and 19. So we've managed to still stick to kind of while Sosa and Benitez are like ready made, ready to go. They came in early and were cheap. Like older players that we still managed to stick to the principles that were and kind of the thing that we're doing at the moment, you know, the younger players with upsell value in there, which is good. But yeah, the Wharton thing, I agree completely. But you know, hopefully when we do have other players in there, I mean, did he need to play at Fredrikstad, for example? Like, did he need to play the full game at Fredrikstad? You know, could we just had Deveni run around like a headless chicken in there just to, because we didn't need, you know, just someone to not, so you could rest Wharton, for example. But hey, it's done. Hopefully it's not as bad as feared. Like we've had, I've seen 8 weeks, I've seen 3 weeks. So take it as you wish for whatever that might be. All right, let's talk about it. Will he, won't he? He didn't in the end. Let's talk about the Gehi scenario, the situation, and we'll start with Marky Mark this time. But what are your thoughts on how this whole thing's been handled, and the Gehi situation?
Well, from my observations, and I haven't got balls deep in it, but I think poorly at the end of the day. Yeah, and obviously there's some other moving parts to it, so I don't think it's all on Palace, but it just seems to be. It's just like yes, some shit everywhere. And I was like, why the fuck can't we just get this done? Why does it go to deadline day? Why does it go tits up? And I guess you know Liverpool are in the driving seat because they're cutting the checks for it. I guess. I've heard both sides for Gay whether he should feel yay or nay about it, and there's probably cases for both. Obviously, from his point of view, you know, World Cup coming up is going to be, you know, first team playing regularly for us. I suppose what he doesn't want to do is, you know, get an injury around January. Yeah, I mean, I don't know the finer details of it, mate, but it seemed to have gone pear-shaped, and then that was off the back of, like, you know, Isak having something to do with that as well, and then them obviously having a big spend there. Feels like we just got fucked around with a bit. We're just like some plaything, an option. And when time ran out, it was decided that option wouldn't be engaged. And we're all sitting over on our side of the fence, sort of huffing and puffing, and much ado about nothing in the end. So see it training on Monday. So I don't know how Mark feels about it. He's not returning my messages, but you know, I just hope the guy stays fit, stays on the park. He's a consummate professional, so regardless of what he feels about it or how it all went down, I don't doubt for a minute, you know, anytime he gets on the pitch in the red and blue, mate, he's going to put in a decent shift. And because he'll want to go to the World Cup as well, so there's that. So from our point of view, I'm not gutted. We get to see him run around for a bit. It's going to fuck with our coffers somewhat, obviously. I don't know. Let's just say, what was the figure bandied about? Like 35?
35.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know. Does that just get halved in January or quartered? I don't know how that shit works. That's all above my pay grade. But yeah, it just seems a shame, you know, because Wilf left with just a handshake, and now it looks like they're going down the road of the same thing happening to Mark. So anyway, we'll see. I don't really have any smarter take on it than that, mate. But yeah, it just screamed textbook Palace, you know, fiasco number 17. So yeah, anyway.
Before I hand over to Dale, I forgot we dismissed France has gone out on loan as well. I noticed how he's been injured the whole of the season, hasn't been in the squad, goes to Brazil, plays in the first game. Bang. I don't think he comes back from that. I think someone's homesick and won't come back. That is my, as Mark said, he's not returning my DMs on Twitter either, but his feelings on whether he's homesick or not.
I just want to add in, terrible did notice in the transfer, and I don't even know where I picked it up. Scott Banks, apparently back in the country and gone to Blackpool, rather. which is a bit of worry, because remember last time I was talking to Scott Banks, he didn't mention Blackpool at all. So the poor lad, he's up against it down there. So anyway, I just want to throw that in there.
Good knowledge of Scott. So you're two, I can see on the background there, you've actually got the Uche wall and the Scott Banks wall that you're following.
Yes, split screen.
Which is right. So, right, Dale, go on. Let's have your thoughts on the whole thing.
All right, I think there's four ways to look at this. You've got the Liverpool view. We're Liverpool. We want this player. We have the history. Blah 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 blah. We can do whatever we want to get him, and you can't. Bottom line is, players sign a contract, and as a club, though Parrish didn't want to do this, we are perfectly within our rights to turn around and say, sorry, Mark, sorry, Liverpool, you ain't going. Don't give two hoots about how Isak and Vissa and other people spit their dummies out the pram. That, to me, is poor from the player, it's poor from the club. And you shouldn't be rewarded for acting like a twat by getting paid a percentage of £125 million into your bank account. That's not how it's not how the world should be working. If Liverpool wanted Mark Gahey, and by all accounts, they started this conversation with Palace and Mark Gahey 12 months ago, make the bid. Make the bid. That's what you should do. Make the bid. Don't everyone now say, all these people saying, oh, Palace are stupid. They lost out on the money, blah, blah, blah. Hey, Mark Gahey's the difference between us finishing 12th and us finishing 17th. Do you know what? How much money that's worth? £40 million. You know what that covers? His transfer fee. Hello, thank you, who cares? Like, it's not all about you because you're the big club. The Gahey point of it. I feel sorry for Mark because he obviously wanted to move. However, he now has a choice of just about anywhere in the world on double, triple, quadruple the money he would have maybe got at Liverpool and a fat old signing on fee. So, hey, do you know what? Whilst I feel sorry for him to a certain extent, I also don't, because I know in 12 months' time he'll be sweet. Is he going to play well for Palace in the meantime? 100% he is, because as people have pointed out already, big fat World Cup coming, and he's already England's first choice centre-back. If he wants to stay that way, he's going to play well. Then there's the Palace point of view. Now, yes, we shouldn't be giving in two Liverpools of the world and that sort of thing. We should be holding our ground, especially as we just lost Olise last year for unders, and we lost Eze this year, potentially for a little bit unders, but hey, we'll take it. Can't be losing your next best player after that as well. However, what the club should have done, and I can't believe they didn't do this to back OG, is have a player in the door. First of July comes and it should be, oh, doors open, there's our new centre back. Worst case scenario, we have another really good centre back in the squad. In the squad where we've already said we are going to be playing at least eight extra games. Where's the issue? Where is the issue with that? And finally, I think for me, there's the fans, right? I feel sorry for the fans because you sit there supporting this club. You're the ones who don't change, right? Eze, all the best stuff he's done for us, brilliant, but he's now an Arsenal player. Gay-he's going to be a someone else. All the other players in that squad, they're going to be someone else sooner or later, right? Anyone who probably won't have been Nathaniel Clyne because he'll probably retire when his contract expires. They don't care like we care. And yet, as not being stakeholders, financial stakeholders in the club, we just sit here going, well, what's happening? Because literally, we're all sitting there going, well, this is the worst thing ever. We're going to get a Brighton injured reserve centre back in to replace our best ever centre back. Sorry, I know his hair's not great, but he is our best ever centre back, just saying. And that's what we're going to have to deal with. And I just feel like I don't think the club should be beholden to the fans, but by the same token, the club should be thinking about what are we doing here if not for our fans? And it's a dereliction of duty to not have the squad in a position where you know you're going to lose your best players, but you don't have replacements ready to go, or at least on the paperwork ready to go, the thought process ready to go. That concerns me. And just my last point is now I'm just seeing so many people talk about how we've ruined Mark Gahey, how the club's silly, how we should be bowing down to them. No, I don't think that's right. I actually think where we're at now is where we should be at. It's just a shame we've had to go through the drama of deadline day to be where we're at. And I'll just say it again. If Liverpool wanted the player, make the offer at the appropriate time. I don't sit there and go, I'm going to buy a house or go and buy a car and wait till the 11th hour to put in a bid because you know what? It might be gone by then, might be too late. Unlucky Liverpool.
No, I'll say my piece done, but that last point is the most, I think, in for me personally, is the most important bit. It's like the media are painting it all Palace, 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 because the media aren't allowed to talk about the big six in a negative way. But you know, as everyone, as every Palace fan has said, like if this deal, if they put that 40 million on the table in July, July 1, Mark Gahey would be a Liverpool player right now. That's it. There is no ifs, buts, or maybes. Go on, Ned, and I'll go after you, mate.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it's already been said. I think in terms of, I think the bit that's annoyed me the most is just looking at the entitled Liverpool fans. And it's not just with Gay, it's with the Isak thing as well. Trent Alexander-Arnold at the back end of last year. It's just this idea of, well, we're Liverpool. Doesn't everyone understand that the pinnacle of football is to come and play for us? And therefore, who cares about anything else? You know, Palace have stitched up a guy by holding him to the contract that he signed. I mean, the guy, you know, he signed a contract. We would like him to sign another one so we can get more, so that we can get more money out of another club. He doesn't want to do that. Fair enough. He doesn't have to. What he does need to do is fulfill his contract. He so far has shown every sign that that's what he's going to do. He's a professional. He hasn't done, you know, I've seen, you know, there's a few comments from people like Michael Owen recently about, oh, you know, maybe that's what players have to do. They've got to throw their toys out of the pram, because the players that did that got their move and the one that didn't get his move. So there's plenty of other players that didn't get their move either. It had nothing to do with the fact that he didn't throw his toys out of the pram and everything to do with the fact that we didn't have a replacement ready to go. Well, his attitude had absolutely nothing to do with that. And the difference is, particularly coming from someone like a Michael Owen, Ballon d'Or winner, played for some of the biggest clubs in the world, and there is not a single club that that man played for whose fans actually still like him. that's probably going to still be the case with some of those players like your Wissers, like your Isaacs, who are going to do all that sort of thing. You look at, I mean, I know Dale was having a little bit of a go at Eze before, but you know, he's taken the last half hour off of, you know, he's taken his last day off before he goes. He didn't sort of, you know, down tools 3 months before the end of before the end of his contract. And he was fantastic up until that point. And I think you sit there and you look at it and you
Yes.
go, wherever
So,
Eze can.
yes, Ned, I'm being a little bit facetious with that one,
No,
but yes.
I mean, I agree with the point. I agree with the point, but I mean, it's not even comparable. But I think you then look at it and you go, Mark Gahey, Eberechi Eze, wherever they end up for the rest of their careers, everyone at Palace, based on the fact that they have been professionals for the whole time that they've been there, whatever they do, wherever they go, they're going to go with our best wishes. And at the end of their careers, we will still be talking and going, wow, wasn't it fantastic to have that player at our club? And weren't they great for our club? We're not going to be sitting there going, oh, fuck him. I hate him. I wish he hadn't been here. You know, he's a miserable prick. No one's going to be saying that about those players. That's why Mark Gahey keeps getting asked to be captains of the teams that he is involved in, because he has that attitude. And that is why your Alex Isaacs and your Wissers don't. Great footballers. But I think that's a really important thing. And yeah, it's there's a couple of attitudes that come from some of the Liverpool fans. You get some of them who are like, cool, whatever, we'll just take him cheaper next time. But the ones that are like, oh, he's been ruined, can go get fucked. Because it's just a ridiculous take. So delighted we have him. On Dale's point, I think it is absolutely a case of you want the guy, make the bid earlier. I do see why all of these transfers go down to deadline day, because everyone wants the best deal. And that's fair enough. If you want to wait to the end to get the best deal, that's when they are going to happen. But you also have to realize that if you're chasing the best deal, there is a realistic opportunity that deal falls through. And that's the risk that you're going to take. You can't sit there, wait all of that time, like we have as well, for the best deal, and then suddenly go, oh, it fell through. That's the game you're playing. If you don't want to do that, pay the extra 5 million, get them in, or whatever it is for the player, pay the extra 5-10%. Get him in at the start of the window, or do whatever it is. I think with a player like Gahey, and also with Eze, what we should be doing is, if we know they're going to go, set our own internal deadline. Tell Gahey that's the deadline. He can tell his agent, they can do whatever they want. It's 2 weeks before the window closes, 3 weeks before the window closes, whatever it is. Go, this is the price we want for you, because this is the player we're going to buy. You go out, you tell that player, and or you do what Liverpool asked Chelsea for all those years ago, when Fernando Torres moved. You say, you want this player, this is the fee, you have to buy the replacement. And then, you know, so obviously Liverpool then went to Newcastle and said, oh, I have Andy Carroll. They said, stupid price. And they went, not our money, don't care, take it. And you have it all set up in a line. So you have your ducks in a row ready to just go one, one, one. And if that deadline, your internal deadline, doesn't get met, no one's disappointed, because you get to say to them, hey, this is what we needed to happen. It didn't happen. So cool. Prepare yourself. We're turning down all offers from now on. Settle yourself into training, and we don't have to worry about this shit in the last 2 weeks.
I've
But
got a
that's a
story
story
about
that
the
I'll never get well from.
Andy Carroll to Liverpool, but I'll share it another time. I knew someone, a mate of mine, used to work for, he used to own, they owned a football shop that was bought by him. And so he
This you
worked.
sharing it another time?
No, but and he was in the office when it was
Yes,
going on. He was in the office when that thing was going on. And it's brilliant. Okay. My thoughts on it, right? I don't think anyone comes out of this smelling roses at all, apart from Mark Gahey. Dale has said the 100% what I was going to say about Liverpool. Just bid earlier. You had all summer to bid. Ned, you're 100% right. Parish should say, look, you know, this is the
just keep
deadline,
that
mate.
last phrase.
You're 100% right.
Thank you.
You, this is the deadline.
Whip that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll never live this one down. But you know, credit where credit's due. I've got all his answers from his predictions, and they're all wrong. So don't worry, but I like that deadline. Like, this is where we're at. But to I'm a massive Parry Chris Steve Parish apologist. I think he's been great for Palace. Do I think there's a ceiling he can take us to with what he's financially able to do? Yes, I think that's quite clear. We've got three billionaires and him, right? But if you go back a little bit, when this model started. This model started with Cheick Doucouré, right? So after that first season of Cheick Doucouré, Liverpool was sniffing around him for 60 mil. And they didn't put a bid in. And he was probably going to go next summer for about 60, 70 mil. That would have been the first big sale. We all know that Doucouré, during the next season, got injured and he hasn't come back since. Then you look at, so that, and then you look at the progression planning that, like we spoke about it before in the WhatsApp group. The Eze progression planning was probably France, so that hasn't worked out. So he's giving it a go. I dare say the Gehi progression planning was Chaddy Riad, right? Young, but young, get him in, give him a year under Gehi, like flood, like kind of blood him in, get him playing, and then he's had a year in the system and going, and unfortunately, he got injured. So,
I will just say on that, you might be right, but we're still a defender short. So
No, I agree. I agree. No,
whether
I
he's
agree.
available or not, we're still short.
Yeah, but then if we'd had Riyad as a backup, then we just got Canvo in and probably another one. I would.
When did Riyad do his ACL?
Don't know. Like November?
And when did Chalobah go back to Chelsea?
Oh, mate, I'm not. I'm just
No,
saying, like,
I'm just saying,
we're still
there's
short.
issues
We're still
here.
short. Absolutely. But,
6 months off. We should have done that last January.
there is, like, I'm saying that he was the big, I suppose, the big money signing, and we could got a couple of younger ones into coming underneath, like a Canvo and someone else, for example. This was the year, this, in my view, this was the summer to gamble. We have the best manager we've ever had, who would guarantee us a good league position, will guarantee us progression in cup competitions. He's shown it. So just gamble it. Because let's say we take the 35 mil for Gehi. We end up with about 10 million of that, right? Chelsea have a sell on. So it's 35 mil. We've got to give
20%, I
Chelsea,
think.
yeah. So we've got to give Chelsea whatever they've got to get. And then we end up with what, 10 million odd for our best ever defender. Pointless. That might as well keep him. Might as well keep it. And the other option would be we sell Gehi on the last day of the sit, on the last day of the window. We then lose our best ever defender and our best ever manager. That is it. And then where are we? Right? We're on the phone to Roy Hodgson again. And none of us want that. Well, some of you might, I don't. But Parrish was prepared. So when people said, oh, Gay, he's furious, what type of bollocks? I don't have it. Parrish was prepared to let him go. Parrish accepted the bid. That's out there. It was accepted the bid that, was it Tudor or whatever was coming, that Gehi was going to go, and didn't go until Glasner got involved. So I dare say Glasner has spoken to Gehi as well. So all this rubbish, Gehi's furious. He probably is disappointed. Why wouldn't you be? They're going to probably win the league again. He'd have probably won the league this year with Liverpool. But he's already won the Community Shield with us. He's won the FA Cup with us. There's a dairy. We have a, we're what, favourites for the Conference League? Who knows? That's not a guarantee, obviously. But he could win a European title with us this year. And maybe another cup. It's not bad. It's not bad. And then I saw the rumors there about Bayern Munich. Oh my God, fingers crossed. That is my dream scenario here. Is someone comes in, like a European club comes in, does a pre-contract with him. So then Liverpool either have to pay the same money they're going to pay to get him then and there in January, or he doesn't go there. And then you can shove it right up your ass.
I think
That is my
that's
ideal scenario.
all this stuff's brilliant. Let's not shy away from the fact the first thing you said is no one comes out this money
No, absolutely no one. No one does. Like
the
Parrish should never.
club now looks like it does look a bit of a laughing stock. Because if the rumours are true that it took Glasner to turn around and say, you sell him, I walk. Well, then, the concern for all of us is, well, Glasner's gone. And we've said it before, right? And if he goes, bear in mind what he's built. And the reality is, this is kind of in line with some of Glasner's track record of 2 years and see you later. But if he goes, I wonder what the fan base will be like, because they will trace it all the way back to the
We've
why the
seen
hell did you
what
not?
it looks like. We've seen what the fan base looks like. It's toxic as fuck.
And that's my concern for the club, right? Because all this will link back to, should have just bought a defender last January. That's all it'll go
We all
back
know
to.
that. We all know that. We all should, as I said, he should have gone after.
But I think this, let's be honest, it has the potential to absolutely fuck the club.
Glasnost won't go before.
But I
No,
think
no,
with
no.
a
But at the end of the season, end of the
he's
season.
gonna win everyone. I think everyone knows that. If you look at
Yeah,
no one, no
and
one
this is
thinks
what
Glasnost
concerns
staying.
me. And this is why it comes on to the what next. Because the club, I feel now, looking at what's gone on, I worry that the club hasn't got a plan, right? Because they didn't have a plan, right? They were prepared to gamble Glasner with Gehi. They were prepared to do that. That's not a plan. That's gambling. That's high stakes
If
shit,
there's gambling, and look, that
right?
was a mistake,
Hold
but
on, hold on. So my point being, end of this season, it is very likely that there'll be no Gehi. It'll be very likely there'll be no Glasner. And it's also going to be likely that some of the other players are going to look at it and go, well, I really like playing under Glasner and I ain't interested in anything else. New manager comes in, they go, oh, actually, yeah, this squad is a 3-4-3 squad and we can't find any good managers to play that. And suddenly people go, well, yeah, I'm just happy doing that. I'm off ski. Unhot, this is how it all starts. And I know this is catastrophizing and I'm doing it for devil's advocate, but this is how problems start. And then before you know it, you are that former FA Cup winning team who are on for great things who are suddenly in League One. Because all and trace it all the way back, because the same mistakes have been repeated year after year.
Yeah, no,
You know.
I hear where you're coming from. I hear where you're coming from, and that we make the same inverted commas mistake in the transfer market every single year. Parrish is the only one that seems to care about PSR. Ned explained why we leave it so late. It drives me mad. As I said, we should have gambled. We should have just gone Diamande, start the seat, start like if that's the one we wanted. Diamande, start the window, bang, done. You're in. Gehi, it doesn't matter if we
It's
lose him
not even start of the window.
on
This
half
is my point.
day. But
It
he
was
was.
January. We were playing with Jeff Lerma as our reserve centre back. For crying out loud,
Yeah, but
why?
we may not be able
Why?
to. Like, we don't know anything that's going on there. Like,
Well,
we were.
what I will say, I'd track that back just one level further. Dougie was the man making the signings. We replaced him 3 weeks ago. He
Yeah.
left 8 months ago.
Yeah.
But Paris said, like, Dougie's still kind of involved in
Yeah,
it.
No, he's not still kind of involved. He's employed by another club. The
Yeah.
fact that you're calling up an ex-employee to go, "Hey, mate, can you do me a favor?" is not a business plan. It's
Exactly
lovely of
right.
Dougie to help us out, but you can't just have a guy, you can't have one of the most important recruitment roles at the club just not bothered to fill it. Be like, "Oh, well, hopefully the last guy will, keep giving it, sending us through a few tips." Like, no, he goes, someone has to come in
I
and replace.
can't
Any
begin to.
organization worth its salt has succession plans. CEO leaves,
Does.
we're going to bring someone up. This person leaves, we're going to look at how we're going to replace them. I used to have a job where I did that for businesses. Why are we any different? Crystal Palace
We're
is a
not. We haven't done it very
multi-million
well.
pound,
Like,
huh?
I just look. We haven't been particularly good. Like, look at. I suppose if you look at when Glasner came in, we had that plan for a while. We just pulled the trigger on it early. Thank God we're good. Otherwise, we wouldn't have gone in. We'd have gone to Bayern. When we got rid of Hodgson, it was like, right, Glasner's in now. I agree with everything you're saying, Dale. I hope that they are have a shortlist of managers right now that they're talking to and saying, hey, this is probably happening. What do you think with this squad? Who have you got that? And which is why the Gehi thing is like, I wouldn't have sold Gehi, but I'm not too despondent that we're not giving Glasner the keys to everything about we he signs only his players. Because as you said, we said he's not staying next season. It's not
And
happening.
that's fine. But I also feel that there is a definite lack of cohesion between what Glasner wants and needs and what the club is going to give. I'll keep going
See, as
back
the
to the
show's been
point.
shown,
I will keep
we've
going
seen
back
that.
to the point. You cannot play half a season and start the following season with Jeff fucking Lerma as your reserve centre back. You cannot go into a season knowing you're going to play a back three and have three centre backs, relying on the back end of last year on Joel Ward. Sorry, Mark. Bless Joel Ward. And
Still
Nathaniel Clark.
available.
Still available.
Sign him up.
We'll end up there. I reckon we'll end up with someone like with him. And it just, as I keep saying, you cannot keep making the same mistakes. How? Look,
Every year.
I'm not talking under Glasnow. Every
Yeah,
year.
but if you look at all the other, look at Villa on the weekend. Look at their bench.
Villa are
Emery,
under
Emery's up in
PSR
arms.
constraints. Villa are not allowed to sign a certain number of players. Villa have issues because of spending in European competitions. Villa have issues.
Fulham, all right. Look, Silva's been up in arms. Santos has been up. Like half the Premier League's managers have been like, "Hey, I need more players." We're not
No,
alone in that.
we shouldn't compare ourselves to the rest of them. We are the FA Cup fucking winners. We won the Community Shield. We are going on that trajectory. We have been going like that. And yet but we're happy to go, we'll just leave it because that's what we always do.
No, I'm going to completely disagree with you there. Yes, we're the FA Cup winners, but so are fucking Wigan.
They're not. They're not. They haven't won it for how many years? And that's
But they
exactly my
were.
point, Rob. If we carry on the way we're carrying on, we will be like Wigan.
But like you're saying, like, I'm talking about clubs like Villa and Everton. At the end of the day, they're bigger clubs enough. They are. They're bigger clubs, right? And they've got their managers and fans that wear all our signings. I am not disagreeing that we make the same mistake every single year. We do. This year, we're not alone in it. This year, like I've said, like, in the last pod, I'm falling way out of love with football with the way this whole thing, all this stuff goes on. Like the big six are like, they can do no wrong. Players should be allowed to kick off just to get moved to the big six. And if you don't kick off, look, BBC put a thing up. BBC was like, Isak kicked off, got his move. Wissa kicked off, got his move. Gahey didn't kick off, didn't get moved. Fucking BBC are putting that out there. And you've got all these, fake journos, the kids that want to put for clicks and like, you should kick off to get your move. It's bullshit. I hate it all. When the Eze thing, Arsenal were fanning around, we don't want to pay your fee. Well, you have to pay our fee because that's how much we value him at. Liverpool, we don't want, we want, we think we should get him a bit lower because we can. By the way, they dropped a quarter of a million on two players. That's fine. They can sell, they wanted to
They
pay
also,
us less.
we also said when they first came in for Gaye, we said, look, we need a replacement. Will you
Oh,
give a
Gomez.
deal on one of your centre backs? And they
They
went,
said
no,
no.
you can pay maximum price for him, but you
Yeah.
can give us a discount on Gaye. Of course
Exactly.
they
All
made
this shit. They sold, was it Kwanzaa? For more than they wanted to pay for England's best centre back. And as Ned said there, we said, you can have Gaye, you give us Gomez. And they said no. So, but the press is like, it's all about, that's why I hate it. That's why I'm way out of, I just don't care. That's why I didn't know about Scott Banks moving to Blackpool. Otherwise, I would have known. Because it's just like, if it's not benefiting Man United, Man City, Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal, Spurs, they don't care.
Well, of
It's like
course they
now.
don't,
Because
that's it, mate.
Arsenal
That's
are
the
getting lots
narrative.
of money.
Come on.
I know it is, which is why I hate it all. It's all bollocks. And so, look,
It's been that way for 50 years, mate.
yeah,
Yeah, that's where they
it's
get the
been
clicks.
so much worse the last few years. So much
That's
worse.
where they get the clicks. I mean, if you're a news,
I know,
if you're a news response, you can have
that's why I don't like it. That's
all
why
of
I'm out.
Africa and Asia. You can have all of Africa and Asia as well as most of the UK click on your story, or you can have us four and half a dozen people in Sydney click on it.
Yeah.
It's why we don't have 430 million listeners, Rob, because the quality that we put out is clearly superior.
Especially the Grigio, Mark's Grigio shout
Oh,
from Napoli.
that's one of the best jokes of the year. That's brilliant stuff.
Yeah, I'm
Remark.
hanging my
That
hat on that, boys.
should not be let go. Like just let that fly through to the keeper. That has to be highlighted. But look, I'll just kind of summarise mine. Like no one, Paris doesn't come out this good, and he doesn't deserve to be. Liverpool don't come out this well, and they don't deserve to be. Gahey does come out this well, and very much deserves to be. It hasn't been. The situation has been poorly handled. We've made massive mistakes. We should have gambled. We should have got the centre back in. I couldn't agree with you more. At the end of the day, we've got five players up the Palace. We're going to win it all. Fucking come on. Right, what's next?
Aussie stuff.
Go on, Aussie stuff.
No, seriously, is that it for on the lunch? Is that next? Or
I
we
think
got other
so.
shit
Yeah, I
to
think
talk
maybe
about?
next one.
We'll keep it short. We'll keep it
All
to
right.
45 minutes. That
Does
was an hour and a half ago.
the hill does Glasner sign a new deal, yes or no?
No.
There you go, Mark.
Aussie stuff. I'll keep it short and sweet also. The mighty Socceroos are back in action. This Friday, and I think the following Tuesday, 5th and the 9th from memory, in a two-legged home and away affair with world football powerhouse New Zealand. or the tall, no, they're not the tall whites, that's the basketball team. What do they call themselves
They're just
over there?
I think they're just the All Whites.
The All Whites. Okay, that would make sense. So that match may or may not feature Chris Woods. Don't know. But that's coming up. I think it's down in your neck of the woods, Rob. Maybe the home, the Combank. I don't know, but I know they're playing Friday. It's been a
Was
minute. It's been a minute, so I might watch it on the box. But other than that, A-League season, I guess, is coming up. You wouldn't know because it's never advertised. But
Well,
yeah.
they also haven't decided if all the teams are going to be in it yet because Western
That's.
United are holding off with fixtures because they're trying to work out whether they're going to fold or not. So that's
Yeah.
fun. And all the A-League
That's.
teams have been getting battered in the cup by the Victorian NPL side. So Heidelberg into the FA into the FA Cup final over here, nearly joined by Avondale, which would have been a first. But the Newcastle Jets went to the shittest team in the A-League, so it'll be a classic encounter. In that one, it was good watching an FA Cup semi-final at a ground that I coached at this year, which was quite entertaining. But yeah, that's Aussie football's in an interesting place
Yeah,
financially.
that's about it. And obviously, Gail needs to get his CV in the palace there from what he talked about
So
earlier.
Mark is
Right
Glasner
all the
signing a new
wrongs,
deal?
and we will in Champions League, and yeah, never defeated again. Be great, can't wait.
So, Mark, you are. Does Glasner sign a new deal? Yes or no?
No.
Sweet. Then, does Glasner sign a new deal?
Well, while we're talking about all of this other stuff, no, I'll go with no.
Course he's not. Fuck no. Literally, no. No chance.
I'd love him to. It'd be
There's
nice.
more chance of me having a hair to start like Ned than Glasner. Glasner sign a new deal. All right, fellas, that was a good 45 minutes from us. Well done. Successful again. We'll pod at some point. No idea when. As I said, we're prolific now, so it may be 3 4 weeks. More likely, probably not. So all I have to say is thank you very much to my panel, Dale, Mark, and Ned, and up the palace.
See you, boys.
Bye. I'm off to the gym class, like Steve Parish.